This is the podcast. Fabulous Adam Richard, outrageous Scott Brennan, punctual Toby Sullivan.
Back for more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, we're really just off to a flying start.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Well, let's just get on with it.
We did, and you kept talking.
Oh.
Can't you just edit these together from previous words?
Maybe.
Can't you just stock Aitken Waterman style I've nail it all together?
I've tried that, but we have different. There's many moods of the podcast.
Yeah, it'll be like, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, it's like
that's sometimes, all right. That's
sometimes
fine. I'm cool
we're
with
excited
that.
And sometimes we're somber, and other times we're Wes.
Oh. Now my life's as good as an ever song. It's as good as Dancing Queen.
Talk Puffy to me.
You talking Puffy.
Judy Blue McClock.
Yes, it is time for Dear Talking Puffy.
Are you there, Talking Puffy? It's yes. Me, Margaret.
Well, actually, we've got one from Bevan.
Bevan.
Bevan from Brisbane.
Bevan oh. We've got a lot of people listening to us from Brisbane.
I know. Well, you know what it is? It's not that we have a lot of people listening in Brisbane. It's that Brisbane people are very vocal and interactive.
Ah, yeah, right.
This happens. If you do a national radio show, mm-hmm. you crack the shits during Daylight Savings.
Oh,
because all of a
it's
sudden,
all Brisbane callers.
The
right.
Brisbane
yeah,
callers
right.
are the best. They're really mm. funny. They are proper Aussie larrikins.
Yeah, right.
With a good sense of humour and quite interactive.
Well, for a second there, I thought someone liked me, so I'm just going to have another Valium now. Carry on. So,
no, Brisbane people are awesome. So from Brisbane, we have Bevan who says, "Dear Talking Puffy, I am a Gen Y top. Apparently, a rare thing."
Too true.
And I really enjoy fucking my boyfriend. Yeah, rub it in. I'm single. Except he always comes pretty quickly after we get into the swing of it, long before yeah. I'm ready to.
Do you know what? This is the thing. This is the thing.
Mm.
There's a lot of bottoms lose their shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, very quickly.
Yeah.
Usually I feel a bit disappointed that I don't get to fuck him for longer, but instead, should I be satisfied with my successful topping technique? Whoa. Thanks, guys. You're the best.
Well, maybe, yes, maybe you are too good,
yeah.
Bevan.
And maybe he's got like a little bend that pushes right into
the... Oh, yeah, sorry. Did you see that little shudder?
You,
that, yeah.
just, you just had a sense memory.
I did have a sense memory.
Of the little bend.
What, like his ass is spring-loaded or something?
No, yeah. You know how like inside your bum hole...
Oh, right.
There's the button.
Like there's a list to his dick that
yeah, like
bends itself.
I had a boyfriend who, like, we could go for ages.
Mm.
But sometimes I'd be like, look, I've had enough of this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there was seriously... I
Midsummer
knew,
Murders is on. Come on.
Yeah. And I knew exactly where to put my finger in and then push down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
and there
right.
was like... It was a button.
You were
it was,
pressing
it
a button.
It was raised up.
Amazing.
And it would just get me in the eye. It would just be like, bang, there you go. And done.
Well, it's got to be handy in a crisis.
Like, no, don't press the button. I'm not ready to... Ah!
So,
God.
Yeah, maybe Bevan's dick bends down a little. Like it's...
Oh, I don't know. You might just be hitting that sweet spot. But, you know, and I'm thinking, Bevan, you are the top. You could always just hold him down and keep going.
Do you know what? That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Keep
you know
up.
The other thing, Gen Y, generally the Gen Ys.
If you leave him alone, he will never learn.
Yeah.
Right?
If you pound him for another couple of minutes when all he wants is a cup of tea and a lie down,
yeah.
he'll learn.
That's right.
What about tell him to stop touching it while you're fucking him?
Yes.
Because generally yeah. you have to, you yeah. know, these things don't explode of their own accord.
Yeah. They sometimes
yeah, if
they can.
They can, but it's very rare,
yeah.
I think.
If you've got a bit of Nokia hands-free action happening, Bevan, you have yeah. a marvellous career ahead of you.
Yeah.
In various hotel rooms on the west coast of the
That's
US.
Right.
So, but yeah, tell him to stop touching it. Yeah,
oh, give him a book or something.
To hold.
Give him a PlayStation, like a little, I don't know, let him play some games.
Maybe try like reverse dirty talk.
Yeah.
Like,
reverse
yeah,
dirty talk.
You like that? Yeah, well, your dad does too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Puppies on a beach, puppies on a beach.
Your nana's masturbating. Your nana's masturbating. Just, you know.
We'll always be bosom buddies.
Friends, sisters, and pals. Yeah, or put this podcast on.
Yeah. No. We want him to last, not fall asleep.
Because we do have a special magical power of being able to just stop people dead in their tracks.
Yeah.
Mm, that's what? Happened before.
But no, I would suggest if you don't have a bed that has like those metal bars on it.
Yeah. Where are you going with it?
Yeah.
Well, get him to place his hands on.
Oh, so he doesn't...
And then tie the hands on.
Or...
So he can't actually get at his doodle.
Oh, what, or just play slap twister. His wrist every time.
Slap his wrist! Yeah,
play twister. Right hand on red.
Right hand on red!
No, left hand on green. Come on. Just put down a twister board and you go.
Yeah, I think maybe he... But if he is spontaneously jizzing, then, yeah, you should be very happy with yourself.
Yeah, you should be very happy with
put
yourself.
Put a clothes peg on his balls.
What?
I'm just thinking of other disincentives.
Yep. Clothes peg on his balls.
Yeah.
Look, desperate times call for desperate measures.
That's right, yes, that's fair enough. Or just threaten him. If you come too quickly, I'm going to punch you in the fucking face. How about that?
We do not condone violence.
No, we do not.
Just press on regardless. Just maintain your age. Keep
just keep fucking him.
Just keep fucking him.
Yeah.
Sex should be selfish.
Well, you know? Look, if he's coming that quickly and that easily, then maybe he needs to come twice.
Yeah. Maybe get him to go off to the bathroom and have a little cheeky wank.
Just knock the rough edges off it.
Yeah, yeah. Something about Mary style.
Right, yeah.
And then, like, give him, like, 20 minutes an hour. If he's also Gen Y, I'll be ready for it in about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Mm.
And then pound away like there's no fucking tomorrow.
Mm.
There you go.
Or put some gardening gloves on him. So it's kind of rough and it hurts.
No, mittens.
No, mittens,
let's make
yeah,
him
mittens.
Wear mittens.
No, no, because then he'll show up at parties and people go, Troy, why are you wearing mittens? I had to work because I wanked too much. Don't. And I apologise to any chronic masturbators with Down syndrome who are listening. That was unfair.
Because we do have a lot of them listening.
He also has to wear an ice cream bucket on his head with eyes on.
Yes.
So magpies won't swoop.
The magpies don't get him.
Oh, Bevan.
Well, there you go. So, well, you've got a few suggestions there, Bevan. You've got a few ways to go.
I hope we've helped you with our mitten ice cream bucket remedy.
Okay.
Okay. If you think eggs are just for breakfast, think again.
Talk poofy to me.
All right, it's time for our new segment.
What's new?
What's new? The root report. No, the root review.
Where we review a root we've recently had or experienced or been subject to.
Or even an old one. You reviewed your first root.
Yes. That's right. They're classics.
Look,
I had that root in black and white, you know.
Right.
I was going to... I did some planning for this segment. And I was going to review... I recently bought a house.
Were you going to go and have a root, especially?
No, and I
have you rooted your house?
I rooted my house. I fucked it in the eaves. a little bit of tile under my foreskin.
Oh.
No, I christened the house.
Oh.
Congratulations.
Thank you. With a pair of gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
You never.
Oh, my God.
Well, it was the bear week. They had, like, this southern hibernation they have in Melbourne, and they have all these bear events, and the final one was a bear dance party at the Greyhound.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right.
Which started at 5 p.m. in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I texted the guys who had just left. I found the text in the morning when I woke up, well, the afternoon, at 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
So I was drinking solidly from 5 p.m. to 2 in the morning.
It sounds like a Puffcast record.
And you brought Yogi and Boo Boo back to the homestead.
I brought Yogi and Boo Boo back. One of which was a contestant in the Mr. Australasian Bear competition.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I root up the ladder.
I
was going to say, bitch is a baller.
And his boyfriend. And weirdly, like, they're from Perth.
Yep.
And one of them... turns out I went to school with.
Oh, my God.
But he didn't recognize me and also didn't realize he knew who I was because I don't have the same surname I had at school.
Oh, you've changed, of course.
And it was, I forget how we got onto it, but it was like, oh, yeah, I went to school in Carlton. They're like, not Princes Hill. I went, yeah, I totally went to Princes Hill. Like, what was your name? Like, you know, how come I didn't know you? Like, were we around the same age? I was like, oh, my name at school was Adam Delamada. And then I heard the phrase that sends shivers.
Into
Danny Minogue every fucking day of the week.
Yes.
Are you Michelle Delamada's brother?
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
And there we have it.
It was one of my sister's best friends.
Oh, my God. And totally... so what exactly had you done with him?
What? At that point?
Yeah.
No, it was before.
Oh, it was before you'd... there been any shit pipe action.
There was no shit pipe action. I'm chased.
And so the root review.
Oh, no, it was awesome.
Great.
But the reason I've got a root review from someone else.
Oh.
Because I was talking to someone on the interesting net about christening my house.
Yes.
And they had their house christened by someone, and they have written a
by someone else.
A listener root review.
A listener root review. A listener who has wondered if he can perhaps get an exorcism to remove the stench of Brennan from his house.
No, no, no.
And I said, will you review?
this must have been a while ago.
The christening of
surprise
your
house review
with La Brennan. And he said yes.
Scott, in fairness, it had to happen.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
The law of averages dictate that finally a listener who has rooted you would tweak.
Would write in. This is a review of the La Brennan Resort. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to visit the well-known and often visited La Brennan Resort.
Oh, shit.
I had heard a lot of this well-travelled vacation slot, but like Adelaide, I'd never had the chance or desire to go where so many had gone before.
Is it anywhere near South Mole Island?
When first approaching La Brennan, I was pleasantly surprised with the frontage. My initial impression was that it was quite charming and easy on the eye. However, I first saw La Brennan at night, and as everyone knows, at night, all cats are grey. In the cold light of day, you could see the signs of wear and tear of constant use were definitely apparent.
Oh, ow.
However, ow. Without being too harsh, La Brennan was now well kept, and the rear aspect lived up to its reputation.
Oh, but
still,
my God.
That's what La Brennan is known for.
Yeah. Wow.
The accommodation was functional and clean.
Oh, thank God, it's not who I'm thinking of then.
Although it was clear that everything had been done to make you feel welcome, it couldn't hide the fact that the facilities had seen better days.
Oh,
it's always fun to go somewhere new to you, but it can't help but take the shine off your enjoyment when you can tell so many people have been there before you, twisting the knobs and fingering the curtains.
Oh,
Scott.
I'm not sure how I feel about this.
What did you do?
I'm not sure.
Staff appeared to be eager to please, literally bending over backwards for me.
Not forwards. That'll be forwards.
Although the service can't be faulted in itself, I couldn't help get that feeling at times that the staff were merely going through the motions after doing the same many, many times before.
Oh.
Almost like meeting the dead glassy-eyed gaze of a McDonald's server as they dribble out, have a nice day, with the conviction and sincerity of Ben Cousins' management explaining how he now has finally turned a corner.
Oh. Harsh review.
In summary, a diverting experience. It did feel a bit like ticking something off the list of being a gay man, go to Mardi Gras, have an awful night at the Peel, use a sauna, fall for a torso shot on Gaydar, have a ride on La Brennan. But that's no bad thing. Everyone has a laugh at Movie World, but you wouldn't want to move in. Would I recommend it to a friend? I guess so, for the novelty, if nothing else. However, that all depends on how the facilities have been looked after in the last 5 years. If things have been allowed to become any slacker around La Brennan, things might have become a little too grim. Would I pay another visit? Probably not. You don't go and see the giant pineapple twice, do you? Grade B-. Enthusiastic, if a little well-trodden. Things have gone to seed, though this might well be a tad generous in today's money.
Do you know what? This is typical TripAdvisor behaviour. This is why I don't pay any attention to TripAdvisor, because people like to get online and show off.
Yes. Wow.
About how cutting they can be.
Oh, my God.
Right. The way he's talking, if what he is saying is true, then you would have a drawstring instead of an anus.
Yes.
And we would be able to smell that from here. And that's not the case.
Reading between the lines, I think somebody didn't get a phone call.
I think someone didn't get a phone call back.
Yeah. I think someone was expecting another trip.
I think
to Le Brennan Resort.
He wanted a.
Ouch! That was mean. I don't know how I feel about that.
That was mean. That was unnecessarily unkind.
Unnecessarily unkind.
And I think hell hath no fury like a top unpronged. I think is what is happening there.
Oh, I just hear that and think, someone's still single.
Oh, yeah. The fact that you've defiled someone's house.
Good Lord.
You've christened someone's house, never called back.
Wow. Well, that sounds like me. Let's face it.
Didn't get
the
bond back.
This is going to be a confronting thing to say.
Oh.
A friend of mine from high school, when I was like 19, 20, maybe 21, I don't know, I was young. A friend of mine from high school was living in a house with a couple of people. One of them was gay, and you know that always comes up. Oh, my God, you should meet my friend Jason. He's gay.
Yeah.
You'd love him.
Or better yet, do you know Jason? He's gay. Jason? Yeah. Oh, gay Jason. Yeah.
I did once have that. Someone said, do you know Stephen? He's gay. And I'm like, Stephen, has he got big ears, really thin cap? And I go, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I totally had sex with him last Thursday. And it was true. That's another story. Gay Jason. There was a house party. Gayson. Mm-hmm. There was a house party at my friend's house, and I went over for the house party. And gay Jason, very cute.
All right. Well, they're not always, though. You have to meet my friend Santa. He's really cute. And
no, this guy, totally hot. Like, right. Really hot guy.
Now who's being mean? Poor old mongoloid Jason with his cankers on his face and his goiter. He's really sensitive about that.
He wonders why someone's written a bad review.
I'm still laughing at cankers on his face.
Do you know what? Next week, you should review him.
Yeah.
Now let's see.
Yes. Nameless man that I can't recall.
Now let's see who's laughing on the farting on the other side of your ass. You go to Jason's house party. Jason is hideously deformed. You can't stand the sight of him.
Jason's friend's house.
Right.
Well, you know, he lives there.
And Jason's cute.
Jason's cute. And, you know, one thing leads to another. I'm 21. I'm gay. I'm bumming off. we had a fantastic night. It was great sex. Really, you know. Yep. It was fantastic. But, you know, I'm young and fancy free.
Does he think you're going out now?
Well, he rang a couple of times. This is before mobile phone, so I'm very rarely at home.
Right.
And, you know, my mother answered the phone and I, you know. And then I bumped into him another time and I was like, hey, it's you. Hot. Let's. And he was like, no. It's not going to happen.
You've had your chance.
And I was like, oh, well.
I phoned you. You didn't phone me back. Get fucked.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, never mind. Whatever. So about 6 months go by and then I bump into him one more time at the Peel and he's...
he's still hanging on to it?
He's drunk and he's like, blah. And he goes, you know, I just still haven't forgiven you. And I'm like, what for? And he goes, you never called me. And I was like... Well, you know, I'm not great with that. And he goes,
yeah, not a great.
He goes, I lost my virginity to you and you never rang.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, okay, you did not bring that up beforehand or until now.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what? People overrate virginity. It is not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like your first route is no bigger deal than your seventh.
No.
Yeah.
Stop carrying on about it.
Oh, no, and he's been hanging on to that for all
but
that time. And
don't not tell someone. Like,
yeah.
If, you know what? If he had said,
I've never done this before.
I probably wouldn't have
done it.
Right.
Yeah. But why not, though?
Because I don't want the responsibility. Yeah. I don't want to have to call him. Clearly, I didn't because I wasn't gonna.
But he... imbues it with that responsibility.
I was
himself.
21. I was 75 kilos. I had long blonde hair and I was totally hot. I was not calling anyone. I didn't need to.
Yeah. Fair enough, too.
That is all in his mind.
I know.
The whole virgin
but
thing.
Like the christening of the house, as with La Brennan.
Yeah. People put
you
things
hang
on
to things. Yep. You imbue certain events with.
You give them all this kind of meaning and importance.
A weight that they don't actually have.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've been on the flip side of that. I've been Glenn Close.
Yeah.
I've been the bunny boiler. The first guy I ever fucked twice.
Which is the name of your next novel.
Correct.
The first guy I ever fucked twice by Toby Sullivan.
I was a terror.
Yeah.
I would really pester him.
Because you wanted it.
Because I went, well, we've fucked twice. We're married now.
Oh, yes.
Jesus. Now I found
love. See, yeah, it takes a little while to kind of get out of that.
Because you're stupid and you just don't know how it works.
Yeah.
Well, there's the age of one-night stand consent, as we're all aware.
This is where I go back to my little hobby horse, that you get lots of sex education, but you get no relationship education as a teenager.
And you can't take all your relationship education from Sex in the fucking City.
No.
And so you don't know how to negotiate these things. I thought, well, he fucked me twice. He must be in love.
And you can get all your relationship education from Sex and the City, but it's got to be a little bit Samantha, a little bit Charlotte. You've got to share it out a little, you know.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, wow. If you have a route review, if you also have visited La Brennan Resort.
Oh,
Poofcast.
Shit, it's going to be...
Form an orderly line. Form an orderly queue, please.
TalkingPoofy.com.
Prepare for the onslaught.
Stay behind the ropes.
Oh, God.
We're going to need a
P.O. box, guys. locked bag number 4. Talking Puffy.
Locked bag. That was definitely not your nickname in high school.
Bratwurst? Aren't we the optimist?
Talk Puffy to me.
Well, it's time for the Puffstery, the Sistery, Mother Horan special corner.
Yes.
I think we should start
recline
calling
by
it.
The fireplace in your Chesterfield.
Yes. Put on your slippers. Get out your briar pipe.
Yes.
Hang on, I've just got to take my support hose off.
Oh, God.
What's on the list today?
It's a really extraordinary story. I read in the paper just recently that Gad Beck had died.
Gad Beck
is the last gay Jewish survivor of the Holocaust.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Now, he died in Berlin on the 24th of June.
Right.
Wow, he must have been about a million.
He was in his 80s.
Right.
But a really... quite an extraordinary guy.
Because you kind of forget about the, you know, because you hear so much about the Jews in Germany. You forget that they also...
A lot of people, Jews, gypsies, fags. Yes. There's a lot of people.
Like they just would pick a group and go, right.
You're next.
And poor old Gad was the double indemnity there of both gay and Jewish.
Wow.
So, but his story is remarkable. And... the great thing about it is when he died, he was an incredibly positive, glorious guy. Mm. And he was a big feature of the Jewish senior center in Berlin. And a very positive, very, very well-loved guy. I read an interview with him in which he said, God doesn't punish you for a life of love.
Aww.
And I thought that, and he was a very really lovely, positive guy. The extraordinary thing about his story, and he's written an autobiography, which if you look it up, it's somewhere out there. Also, he appeared in the HBO film Paragraph 175, which was a documentary about gay survivors of the Holocaust, both Jewish and non-Jewish. And really, and it's a very good documentary if you never get to see it. But he's in that. And he tells a story which I just, floored me. He was half Jewish. So consequently, he wasn't deported to the camps immediately like a lot of Berlin Jews.
Yeah.
He was able to stay around for a little bit longer.
Mm, until the tolerance kind of wore out.
Yeah, until the fun stopped. And he had a lover who was a Jewish guy, a guy called Manfred Lewin. And Manfred was Jewish and had been rounded up. And was about to be deported to the camps with all of the Lewin family. And Gad Beck, Gad is short for Gerhard, by the way.
Right.
Gad is kind of a...
Gad and man.
Oh, yes. Gad, what do you like?
Get you, Gad. anyway, so Gad basically says, my boyfriend is about to be put on one of those trains to Auschwitz.
Mm.
So what he does is he goes and finds a Nazi youth, a Hitler youth uniform, puts it on.
Oh, my God.
Mel Brooks.
Oh, my God.
He walks straight in to the deportation center. He was a very good-looking guy, and so and basically, you know, more front than Meyer.
Wow!
Basically, says to the commandant, Manfred Lewin, I need him for construction site duties. Someone's take him away, please. I need him right now. Please get him in here. And so, basically, eventually,
saves his.
He gets this guy Manfred released, and basically, he kind of says, shut up, come on, come with me. And they walk into the street outside and they're walking down the street.
Because like, hi.
yeah, I'm really good at construction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You look and awesome.
Labourer.
Yeah. You look so, amazing in that Hugo Boss.
So basically, they're walking down the street and Manfred stops and says, thank you for getting me out, but I can't go with you.
I can't leave my family.
I can't leave. And he says, I can't go with you. My family needs me. If I abandon them now, I could never be free.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So Manfred walks back in the building.
Oh.
And him and his entire family die in Auschwitz.
Oh, my God.
And the last ever interview with Gad Beck, he describes Manfred Lewin as his true, true love.
Oh.
How could you go on?
Oh, my God.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That
Can you imagine having to do that?
Yeah. And if they say gays can't be in love, Exhibit A, people.
Yes.
Jesus.
So isn't that extraordinary? That
pretending to be a Nazi.
To get your boyfriend out and the boyfriend goes back in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You couldn't write that, could you?
No, you can't. And but
Gad Beck, that's devastating.
Gad Beck eventually got very late in the war, got, you know, caught, but was released and helped a lot of people, the German Jews, get into Israel. He went to Israel for a long time, but came back to Berlin in 1976 and basically helped rebuild the kind of the Jewish population in Berlin. And in the very first pride marches in Berlin, he would turn up with an Israeli flag. Which I think is incredibly classy.
Yeah.
But go online, Gad Beck, G-A-D-B-E-C-K. There's some really lovely interviews with him. And here's this lovely old smiling pensioner who talks. And I think he found love later in life.
Yeah.
But Manfred was the guy.
Wow.
That is gorgeous.
That is and horrible.
It's a common theme, isn't it? When you talk to people or you see interviews or whatever from people like from that time or from any other kind of horrible experience, I've never seen one, whether it's you know, a survivor of the Nazi Holocaust or a survivor from some kind of African calamity or whatever. Mm. I've never seen one of them just go, you know what, those fucking bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's so clear about it, aren't they?
Yeah. Philosophical and wow. Mm. But interestingly enough, I was reading about the Holocaust recently, and once the war was over and all of the Auschwitz and all that got liberated, a lot of everyone was freed, but a lot of the homosexuals had to serve out their sentences because the people who were liberating them agreed that they should be in prison.
Russians and so forth.
Yeah, so a lot of, you know, a lot of homosexuals came out of the the concentration camps and went into prison.
Straight into prison.
Yeah.
Horrific. As an aside, a lot of the gay clubs in Germany during the 1930s, when the wall was put up, a lot of those clubs from the 1930s were still operating. And
kind of Weimar gin pits.
Yeah, yeah. But they were then kind of revivified by the Stasi, which is the East German police.
Secret police.
Basically, and so consequently, Western diplomats would sneak across the wall and go to these amazing nightclubs, underground nightclubs.
In the East?
This is in the 60s.
Wow.
And basically, the German secret police would use these nightclubs to ensnare Westerners.
The honey trap.
Oh,
wow.
And this is a really interesting thing because I remember when the wall came down that there was a gentleman who turned up in New Zealand, where I was living at the time, and he was a very wealthy East German, which you didn't hear of very much in the early 90s. And he was talking about all these clubs, and I thought, what did you do, Olaf?
Yeah.
And then he disappeared again.
Right. Because you asked that question. Oh, shit. fuck, I've got to move again.
I think what you did there was meet a gay Stasi policeman.
Yes.
So, I think Olaf, if you're out there, give us a call.
Yeah.
Your story is a great story. Also, a tiny little shout out before I go. Mm-hmm. There's a Facebook site that's just been started up called Lost Gay Sydney. And it's basically a photo Facebook site, and it's only been going for a while, but there's 4,000 people on it now and thousands of photos. Now, it's all pretty just jumbled in there, but it's called Lost Gay Sydney. Go there if you want to have a look at some
of the
most...
There'll be some gold there, I bet.
There's hilarious. And people are just dumping their albums.
Yeah. There'll be some, you know, Tamarama faggots waving their asses at Pride Parade, I'm sure. Oh, but there'll be some interesting stuff from...
Lay Girls stuff. Yeah. There's a great, like early 70s hilarious stuff. But just flick through it, because there's some really marvellous kind of photos, and it's such a nice kind of messy jumble of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
So go and have a look. Lost Gay Sydney on Facebook.
Gosh, now, Mother Horan, you're the best.
Oh, my God.
If you have anything you would like Mother Horan to investigate, you
to
can
probe.
You can email us, boofcast@talkingpoofy.com.
Nancy Drew at Ponty.
Literally Nancy.
Yeah.
But yeah, poofcast@talkingpoofy.com.au or jump on our Facebook page, which is obviously facebook.com/talkingpoofy.
Yeah.
We're everywhere.
Indeed.
We're like a virus.
Yes.
Just like a virus.
That's
careful,
right.
You'll catch one of us. thank you, Mother Horan.
A pleasure, darling.
That was the Poofcast.
Yes.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming to our party.
And look, if you'd like to contribute to our new segment, The Root Review, email us poofcast@talkingpoofy.com.au.
Send us the details of what happened, and we'll get David and Margaret.
Yes, yes.
On your conjugal experiences,
especially if you've fucked one of us, that'll make it even funnier.
There we go.
By one of us, I mean Scott.
Yeah.
We'll be back next time on the podcast.
Yeah, we're here and we're queer and we're doing all right. Girls and boys making noise, stay up talking all night. Talking trash, talking trade, talking dirty and gay. Don't care what you say.
Button?
There is.
Top right.
On.
Yeah. If you press
off.
It, it says off.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
Don't press the other buttons, because you'll end up talking to Arthur and he gets confused.
Which makes him dumb.
I'll
makes
speak. Him hotter. Don't talk to reception about fisting.
Words to live by.
Thankfully, there's no reception on Saturday.
So, you happy to talk about the way of the fist?
Oh, yeah, look, I don't care.
Our new segment, Fists of Fury.
I've got a workshop coming up at Manhouse, so we might give that a plug.
Well, I was lucky enough to be at your workshop for Pleasure Salon.
Oh, right,
and that was fantastic. Yeah, psyllium husk changed my life.
It was that.
There you go.
You got the psyllium husking from.
Yep.
See? Told you. Mm-hmm. I told you it would.
Man, was that your idea?
Yes.
You know your shit.
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Actually,
yes.
Actually, I do.
You're the elevated taking up the pooper to a science. Is there a Nobel Prize for our sex?
I think Obama won it.
I think Obama won it.
Can we save it for on air?
Yes.
What do you mean? This is on air.
The Nobel Peace of Arse Prize.
Talk poofy to me.